Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a weekly podcast to keep you up to date on what's new on our cloud platform Microsoft Azure. Your hosts, Cynthia Krang, Evan Basilik, Sujit DeMello, Kendall Roden, Kale Teeter, and Russell Young, discuss a different service or solution on each show, with subject matter experts to explain how to get started, how different services work and how to make decisions in tricky scenarios. You can find out more about our podcast at azpodcast.com or follow us on LinkedIn.
Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 506, and we're doing something a little bit different today. We've actually got an external customer, external company and customer, they're both, Pure Storage on today to talk about their product. This is, like I said, episode number 506. Being recorded on September 23rd. Joined is Evan Basilik, and I've got my co-host Cynthia's here as well. So glad to have her. And unfortunately, I guess we don't have any news. Although I think, Cynthia, you said something about a Power Apps conference, right?
There's a Power Platform community conference that just happened last week. And I think in general, there's just a lot of energy and probably a couple new announcements that came out from there. If you look for Power Platform community conference, you'll probably find out more. And maybe join the next one.
I need to get better with Power Platform. I dabble in it once in a while. There's a lot of power over there. No pun intended. So we've got two special guests today from Pure Storage. We have Cody Hosterman and Václav Jarovský on to talk about their CBS. And they're going to explain what CBS is in just a sec. But introduce yourselves. Tell us what you do for Pure. And then tell us what this CBS thing is.
Yeah, I'll start with my introduction. We're in this place where we're a customer, a partner. I think we're a vendor, and probably if you dig in the right spot, we might even be a competitor somewhere. So we've checked all
competition. We'll go with competition.
Exactly.
There we go. Yeah.
We call that close partnership.
Yes. There we go.
So my name is Cody Hosterman. I'm senior director of product management here at Pure Storage. I've been at Pure for a little bit over a decade. For most of that time, I was responsible for our virtualization ecosystem. But these days, 99% of my efforts, and I've been shifting more and more, is focused on public cloud and our, as you say, CBS product. And we'll talk about that in a bit more detail. But Václav?
Yeah, thank you. So I was thinking about my background. So I have been working with Azure for really a long time because I still remember the classic Azure portal. So I'm thinking
it's been a while.
Why am I
Silverlight. Wait a minute, you go back far enough to Silverlight when it was a Silverlight portal or not quite?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So something about myself. So I'm based in Prague and I'm a Microsoft MVP for Azure Area. And here in Pure Storage, I'm helping to evangelize our products and make our customers successful in their public cloud journeys. So
awesome. Well, that's probably the epitome of that co-opetition as well, if you're that deep in our platform as well as working on CBS. So appreciate y'all coming on. You know, Cody and I ran into each other. We were working together on a mutual customer, trying to make them successful on the platform and, sort of had to figure out the best ways to get our systems to work together. But we thought it would make sense to have them come back and talk about CBS. So let's start. So what does CBS stand for and what is it? Like, why would I ever want to use CBS? Like, let's start with that piece.
Yeah, so it's not a U.S. television network. We'll just kind of put that right out. But we do use that icon in Slack as the emoji when we're whatever, so often. But so CBS stands for Cloud Block Store. So Pure Cloud Block Store is the name of the product. And really what it is an evolution of our software that we customize on-prem for, I remember the first time we went to Ignite however many years ago, the first question I got was, why are you guys here, right? Because we build an all-flash array and we customize our software for it. Well, what we did is we re-architected that, redesigned the back end, and deployed it as a managed application, ARM template, et cetera, into Azure. Instead of managing flash, manages back end, managed disk, et cetera, and a variety of incarnations around that. So it's basically our software-defined version of our on-premises offering that's built for Azure that brings all the features and snapshots and replication and data reduction and thin provisioning, all that stuff into Azure itself. And the question, and we'll go into a lot more detail on exactly what that means. Why is another question?
Yeah, I was gonna say, let me start just to make sure I understand. So really this is, this is a product that's lived on premises for I don't know however many years, a while at this point. And the reality is people are moving to the cloud, and you want it to be able, people want to leverage the same features and functionality. And so this is, you know, basically virtualized your solution, right, to work in the cloud. And I assume, you know, you said public cloud, and we are Azure centric. We do acknowledge there are other clouds that exist in the world. I assume you run on the other hyperscaler clouds as well. And so you're just sort of a standard that people can leverage wherever they're running. Is that the right way to think about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the goal here is that, like, the reason I don't like to use the term virtualized, right, is because we did like really re-architect the back end to take advantage of what Azure is and, you know, have the differences between it, right? And so we've done that for other clouds as well. But conceptually, totally right. That's essentially virtualized. It's running in software, but we did build it for it. And yes, it is supported in other public clouds.
I would say it's inspired. It's not virtualized. It's inspired.
I like
inspired
that.
By the on-premises architecture.
Yeah, I like that. I'll have to. So it's definitely not, you know, I've said it on
the same
show.
Thing.
Yeah, it's not lift and shift,
which
shift never works. Yes, yeah, it's definitely not lift and shift. So great. Okay, so when what makes me as a customer decide, hey, I want to use pure CBS Cloud Block Store solution versus just using Azure Disks, right? Because I assume there's use cases that'll drive me to one over there. Like, how do I come to that decision that pure CBS is the right solution for me versus just something natively? I mean, you're adding complexity, no question. So there's got to be, you know, there has to be benefits that it brings by doing it.
Yeah. So I see there's three swim lanes here of like where we've seen our customer attraction, right? One is, to your point earlier, the hybrid customer. I have data sets on premises. I want to move some of them in, whether it's DR, whether it's migration, whether it's just some kind of like running prod in one place and dev test another place or whatever the case may be. So there's a certain section that's just, I got data here. It makes it a lot easier to move it and a consistent approach to doing it. The other swim lane right now is, frankly, one of the swim lanes what we built our business around, like initially on premises, was like making like Flash more cost effective, was just the core value prop of the product, which is thin provisioning and data reduction, right? So you only pay for what you actually consume on that volume, if you will, and then we reduce it even further through dedupe and compression and pattern removal, right? So cost efficiency. And then the third swim lane is essentially what I call the feature use case. Like, hey, someone just needs very sophisticated snapshot management, right? I want to be able to send that snap here. I want to instantly restore this volume from over here. So the snapshot management around it, because it's all globally reduced and deduped and metadata pointers, snapshot management is a really significant part of our product. But other use cases that go into the feature world is also Azure VMware solution. We have a lot of customized stuff built for the VMware ecosystem, just down to the SCSI level that really matters for AVS. And so that falls under that feature swim lane. So all three of those kind of feed into one another, but that's where the bulk of the interest for our customers come from, one of those three lanes.
So I think you mentioned as you were talking about that, about the cost thing, because what does make the cloud a little bit unique is it's, you know, pay as you go, right? So the more storage you consume, you know, the more you will pay over time versus on-prem, right? You buy your disks and it's sort of a fixed cost, right? You depreciate it and you go. It sounds like part of what y'all are offering is the ability, like you mentioned dedupe, you mentioned some of the snapshotting. Like, how does that end up helping me from a, you know, talk a little bit more about how that ends up helping me from a cost perspective.
Yeah, so there's really a couple places, right? So one, we'll start at the application layer, right? Generally, you know, DBAs or whoever owns the app, like, hey, I need 100 terabytes, right? Just like in your laptop or whatever, like, are you using all 100 terabytes? Probably not. You're probably using a small portion of it. And you're like, well, I'm going to provision it because that way I have it. Because if I run out of space, like, forget about it. And like, if I don't do it now, will I get it tomorrow? Right. So I'm going to pre-provision. And even like the most, I'd say conservative folks around that, right. It's 20-30% is not used, right, in many ways. And sometimes it's even deeper, right. Cause they're provisioning a new application, 100 terabytes. There you go. It's not being used at all. Mm-hmm. And so by thin provisioning, you provision as much as you want, right. You can create technically 3 petabyte volumes on our product if you want to, and you don't pay for any of that until you use it. And then global deduplication and compression and pattern removal. So then all of those volumes are consolidated into one CBS, or many CBSs in the case of your architecture, and that footprint is reduced, right? So databases, we generally see 3 to 4 to 1 data reduction. VMware environments is closer to 5 to 1. If you start using a lot of copy data management, what customers choose our product for, right, then you see that go up and up and up. And so the cost savings around only paying for what you provision, and then the back-end footprint is compressed even more, ends up to some impactful capacities. But be clear, if you're provisioning 5 gigs in Azure and that's it, like, it's probably not the product for you. There's more of like a 10, 15, 20 terabyte entry kind of place there. But once you're past that, it can make a lot of sense dollar-wise.
And then when you're talking about the compressing all of the different and simplifying all the different backends in the situation where a customer is using a hybrid environment or they're on multiple cloud, how does that work? And how do they all talk to each other? Well, from a developer perspective, you get one pane of glass instead of however many environments you have.
So there's a couple of ways that we improve with that, right? So one, we have our own SaaS interface called PureOne, right? So you see all of your storage, your appliances, things like that in one place. If you have on-prem gear, it's all listed there. Observability, all of that is built into our PureOne platform. Another product that we have, really more of a feature, it's called Fusion. We're fusing all the products together. So there's a control plane that allows you to manage them all more as a, not even a fleet, really. It's just like a service, right? It's like, I have all these drives, these are fault domains and things like that. And so there's a couple different places that we integrate these things together. So the different clouds or data centers or whatever seem really more as a region or availability zone, following the public cloud-like model a lot around your storage. But PureOne is a main place to have a consistent approach around where you see all of them in one place.
Does when you know, I just want to, like, so the SaaS service and that central point of management, that central control plane is great from a management perspective. But if I'm a, you know, if I'm an app, you know, you talked about the app developer, the database owner just wants that 100 gig database. Do I need to know or care about that complexity, or do I just, you know, ask whoever is administering, you know, our storage infrastructure, which, you know, Pure is underneath that, or managing the storage infrastructure for me, just to say, I need 100 terabytes. And then, like, that's all handled? Or do I need to build separately, knowing that I'm on top of Pure? Like, what do I need to do as an app developer? Do I care? Maybe I don't care, right? It's really a management plane thing.
Yeah, usually, sorry, please go ahead.
No, please, I was going to say, you have done a lot of work here.
Yeah, I wanted to say that's usually what we see at our customers. Like, developers don't care, like, what they are running on. They're just asking about the capacity, about the performance, and they don't care about what is underlying. So from developer perspective, for application owner, you don't care about that. It's more for the storage administrators.
And do I need to think about, like, different performance? Well, actually, let me back up a little bit. So that implies if I as a developer don't need to care. So I come out of a SQL Server world, and I remember the days. These are probably outdated, but it used to be if you were more than 10 milliseconds, you know, read and write latency, SQL Server in your app were not going to be in a happy place, right? That's usually an indication you got something wrong underneath. Do I, like, if I'm an app developer who, let's be clear, most app developers have no idea what read and write performance they need out of their database. Do I need to go in and say, hey, you know, DBA, I need 100 terabytes with 15 millisecond response time. And then that's going to say, well, I use Pure, but I don't use Pure if I need, I don't know, 50 milliseconds or I need 5 milliseconds. Like, again, do I need to care any about that? Or can I truly be the typical app developer who just says, I want 100 terabytes in that database better always work? Right? Can I sort of cheat and say that, or do I need to work really closely and ask, hey, I have a high performance app? And
I'm not sure about, like, about the clear answer here, but usually what we also recommend when we are not sure about the answer, it's like, do a POC. I mean, really, POC answers everything. Like, because sometimes we see that customers have really big requirements, large requirements. We have such IOPS limit. It needs to be there. But usually when you take it in real, in reality, when you try out, you will find out that even half is minimum. But still, CBS offers huge IOPS and the performance output. So yeah, but what I would like to maybe add here is sometimes it's very important the latency. So what we need to take care about is the availability zone. So because the CBS is zonal service, so what we sometimes see that customers place it in the other availability zone, which has impact on the latency, unfortunately negative, and also it has impact on the resiliency. So it means if one of the availability zone would be down, the other one, which should look like it's no problem, the workload might be affected. So that's the important reason why we recommend to co-locate CBS with the host VMs together into single AZ.
And since you brought up the availability zones, I was just in a meeting with a customer talking to them about the importance of making sure their application is deployed in a zone redundant fashion. You know, it sounds like Pure is totally capable of being used and deployed in a zone redundant fashion, and so I can get my resiliency, or do I need to leverage multiple Pure arrays to do that? Like, what kind of resiliency do you give me from a product perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a great question. So standard, the CBS itself is single AZ, but the replications, so we have multiple kind of replications. So we enable to replicate the data synchronously or asynchronously into other AZ or asynchronously to even other region or hybrid back to on-premises. So you just need to create another CBS or use the flash array on premises, and you can set up the replication between these two arrays. And for mission critical applications, we have, for example, our synchronous replication called active cluster, which means every write needs to be acknowledged on both arrays before it's committed. And I see when I'm speaking, my camera is taking. I don't know why. So sorry for that. I'm speaking too loud, probably.
No worries.
Speaking with passion. I'm curious, how does it work in terms of the life cycle management of the infrastructure that gets deployed as part of CBS? Since my understanding is that this is now a managed offering, so Pure takes care of that? Or what happens to my Azure resources? Do I have control over them? Or if I want a different SKU, can I do that?
So there's a couple paths here, right? So I think actually maybe the answer to the question fundamentally is we talked about conceptually what CBS is, but what is it is probably the next real question, right? So CBS is really a combination effectively of two different things, right? So we have our controller VMs this acts as our NVMe TCP or iSCSI target, right, that you can connect and provision storage from. This is where our management exists and our software and data reduction and things like that. And then it's back-ended. Those two controller VMs are back-ended by shared Azure managed disk, right? And so we have two SKUs available today. We have the Ultra SSD version, and then we have the Premium SSD V2. And so basically, they're shared across them. We use reservations on the back end to control quorum and failover and redundancy. So this allows us to increase availability and durability, or maybe more availability, frankly, inside of an AZ by sharing them across those controllers. And so when a customer wants to move to a newer feature, there's a newer version or something like that, or they need more capacity, those are API-driven operations, right? So if they want to move to our newer version of software, that can be done either themselves or, Pure can do that for them too, if they would prefer us to manage it. The backend capacity management, this is another part of the efficiency of the products. We start with a small amount of Azure managed disk, and then we can add backend raw capacity as their CBS product grows from a footprint. And that's also API driven as well. We could also do that for customers too, but they generally like to be in more control of it because adding disks add, some footprint, some costs. So there's a couple ways of going after that, and moving between V10s and V20s is available to that's the kind of the smaller CBS and the larger CBS. So there's a couple of different paths. Goal is to make it as flexible as possible to meet the customer's workload demand as it grows.
I think when I hear you describe this, and I know there's a lot more features and functionality and we're doing this in the cloud and you're taking advantage of zones and whatnot, but when I visualize this, I sort of feel like we're talking about, if you think back to the old storage spaces in Windows where you had these disks and then you could you could, you know, surface them as a virtual disk, and then you, you know, you go into Disk Manager and you're adding and removing disks, and you don't really have to know or care what that underlying experience looks like or how that's built. Is that, again, obviously more complexity, you know, modern features, but conceptually, is that sort of how the DBA could approach this, you know, which is, hey, I just need disks, whether they're backed by, you know, premium V2 or you know, Ultra SSD, or whether it's on premises, not my problem. I just said I need these disks, I attach them to my virtual machine, and I'm off and off and running.
Yeah, that's exactly the goal here, is just like have the back end either managed, assisted by Pure, or some of our customers partner with like GSIs around it too, to like, you know, because a lot of them own their cloud infrastructures to manage their footprint.
And GSI is?
Global Systems Integrator. So your Accentures, okay. your Kyndryls. And things like that too. So a lot of them manage that and work with us too to provide that. And the end user is just like, I need a volume, and you deal with it, or Pure deals with it, or the software deals with it. It's a case of the scale and the need of the customer. So there's a couple different paths around that can be managed.
Also, another goal here is like to minimize any downtime. So that's the reason, for example, why these controllers are redundant. And for example, if you do the upgrades, as we mentioned before, so it works like when you as customer initiate such upgrade, the secondary controller gets upgraded, and when it's up and ready, the array performs a failover and on the to the upgraded controller, and repeats the same steps on the other controller. So everything is designed this way.
Yeah. Reducing that downtime in yet another with another pass. It is you know, I think it's a little bit of a shorthand, because databases tend to be the most, you know, sort of performance and disk hungry apps that are out there. But I assume there are scenarios outside of database. Like can I do, you know, cold storage, you know, warm storage with Pure? Can I do, you know, if I just need this, you know, a big data lake, and I need, you know, petabytes of storage for, you know, some, you know, data lake type solution, can I do that with Pure as well? Or is this really more of a, and again, it's not a bad thing, but is this really more of a database centric thing? So the Oracles, the V2s, the SQL servers of the world.
The bulk of the business right now is a lot of transactional databases, your SQLs, your Oracles, and your related, right? SAP, dev test, there's a lot of flip around there. Copy data management comes into that play. A lot of the like kind of just bespoke applications that we're seeing put on it comes from the Azure VMware solution world, where there's like all kinds of different VMs kind of thrown together in one platform, right? So that's a big area of the business too, where I think it starts expanding across customers looking to save costs or improve copy data on their databases, or like, hey, I have general capacity needs here too on AVS. And so that's another, I think, large swim lane there around additional use cases. And really the goal here is to, like, I think there's a lot of exciting stuff coming from Microsoft. I love the episode you guys did on Boost a couple months ago. Right? Yeah. That's actually a really fun conversation we've been having with that team on where that's going to fall into the product. And so expanding the use cases, making larger, bigger, more flexible CBSs, like there's some fun stuff going on.
And I want to go back, because you sort of threw it in there, and I had forgotten about this, so thank you for reminding me. But the integration that y'all have done with us on the Azure VMware solution, that's really sort of a special feature and capability that we're offering on the AVS side or Azure VMware solution. Can you talk a little bit more about, like, you know, how does that help me as a customer to leverage that?
And I'm gonna talk a little bit of that. I want to have Boston, so you talk a little bit about some of the details of some of the orchestration and stuff that's come through it. But I want to talk a little bit of the fundamentals of the use case, because really the demand around this actually goes back to something we built with VMware, and we as in the storage industry built in like 2009, and it was something called VAI, right? These were offloaded SCSI operations to do like VM cloning and locking. Like it uses atomic test and set, write same, unmap, X copy, these things that were built. And the reason they were built is that like storage platforms are getting much more scalable. And frankly, like SCSI reservations, if you have hundreds or thousands of VMs on a single SCSI volume, it's just
hard to manage.
It's basically like going into a stadium and every person has to open and shut the door before the next person comes. It just doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
And so like that was a really important part of like the introduction of us into the AVS business, because believe it or not, it's actually hard to build that stuff, right? And so we're like, hey, we need some external storage. We need a platform that supports VMware out of the box. So we have all that stuff, VAI, vVols, plugins, all that stuff just made a lot of sense. And so it was a clear swim lane for us, because huge portion of our on-premises business is running VMware. We're seeing a lot of interest in moving that to for a variety of reasons, including some shifts in the Broadcom strategy around moving to AVS. And so it's a really clear path for our product. So there's a lot of technical reasons that brought into it, but these building businesses reasons really starting to put some momentum on that.
And so, Vaslav, I think you were going to talk about something related to the use case for that.
Yeah, I would maybe like to describe how it looks like. I mean, the integration, this kind of integration between the AVS product and between CBS. So just quickly, like, so when a customer decides to deploy that, so CBS is standard offer on the Azure Marketplace. And when customer wants to deploy it, they will just deploy into their virtual network. And AVS, the standard approach to integrate AVS with some network, with some virtual network in Azure, is through Express Route Circuit. So the customer will needs to have configured the networking between the VNet and AVS. So customer is going to deploy the CBS into VNet. And as last step, customer needs to execute the AVS run command. This command, if you are not familiar about them, you can imagine them as pseudo commands built in AVS. So for some commands, you need to execute them with some elevated permissions. And we created in cooperation with Microsoft's few run commands to configure CBS and manage CBS. So a customer just needs to execute these commands and it will finish the rest.
And it sounds like these are things that customers have been doing for years in the on-premises world. You're just sort of lighting this capability up in the Azure VMware solution, right? So this is something customers are really used to. Okay, great. Yeah, no, I appreciate you bringing that on. I had completely forgotten about the AVS integration. That's a huge... It's a huge scenario. I see a lot of Azure VMware customers, you know, who are leveraging that to help get their stuff up and running the way they want it to. Vaslav and Cody, you know, this has been great. Any other last, you know, sort of last things you want to leave the audience with, you know, as they think about, you know, when and where they should be leveraging Pure's CBS solution?
Yeah, I mean, all I said, it's really, I'd say, like, if you're running into significant costs around your backend block storage, and you want to spend that in more strategic places within Azure, which I imagine you do. And I imagine there's going to be some cool stuff coming at Ignite here in a month or so that you're going to want, like, I want the budget for this. How do I get it? Well, the way to get the budget for it is spending less in one place. So this is where we can really help, right? Really reduce that without the feature trade-offs you might do. Sometimes you have to just jump down tiers or something and you lose features. Yeah. This is really our goal, is to, like, hey, put that data reduction, thin revision on the top, manage just tiers, premium V2 and ultra, so you can get the cost savings but not have to drop down those service levels. And certainly if you're an AVS customer, that's a really clear place for us too, right? Provisioning the amount of compute that you need in the exact amount of storage, it's cost optimization, also comes with all of the VMware goodness. And there's a lot of cool stuff coming down the road here. So I'm really excited for the next couple of years, but frankly, certainly the next year here with the relationship with Microsoft and Pure.
Yeah, we won't go into it here, but you and I are already talking. I think it's in, you know, early next year, we're going to come have you back to talk about some new things that are coming out that you're going to announce. So yeah, definitely happy to have you back at that. Okay, great. Well, no, appreciate both of y'all coming. It's good to, you know, I was joking before the show, it's good to see Cody in a call where he's not yelling at me because something on the platform didn't work right. It's great to hear about the use cases here. Appreciate y'all coming. Thanks, folks. Bye now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any thoughts, questions, or just want to connect, find us on LinkedIn. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. We hope you'll tune in again soon to keep learning with us.